So good morning, Fort Saskatchewan Alliance Church. Back for the third Sunday, and it's been such a pleasure being with you guys and being able to share what God has been doing in our midst and what God has placed on my heart. And so this morning we want to go in a little bit of a different direction, and I want to start with asking a question, and this is it. Have you ever been in one of those places where you were in the right place at the right time? Now, when I say that, maybe some different ideas come to your mind, but I've got this really interesting, maybe is the right word, or unusual story of how myself was in the right place at the right time, and God using what seemed like inconveniences or issues in a trip to lead us to a place that we would have never been if those things didn't happen. So it was around the second year that I was in Bible college. It was the same year, shortly after 9/11 happened. So the way that air travel happened hadn't been fully changed or restricted, but there was a lot of new things that were going on. And so my actual full name is Joseph Josh Steves Drake DeLong Farmer. French Canadian, a lot of different names. I get four first names, two last names, no middle names. They all just kind of work together like that. Now, why is that important? Because our leader that we were going to go on this missions trip down in Mexico, and he wanted to get all of our names, and I thought he was just doing a roll call, and we always made this joke because I could go legally under eight different names. Or is that right? Yeah, so eight different versions of that with two last names and four first names. And so he asked, hey, what's your name? And I made the joke that it was Joseph DeLong, because first name Joseph, last name DeLong, and he wrote that down. I had no idea why he was asking that question, and then found out later it's because he was planning on purchasing our plane tickets. Here's the catch. I didn't have any legal ID with those two in that combination. So even though my birth certificate worked that way, no driver's license, no passport, it would just been under Drake Farmer. Maybe Joseph Farmer I could get away with, but not DeLong. And so when we got to the point of going to the airport and realizing we were about to leave and my plane ticket was under this name, we started to panic and we started to pray and wondering, okay, God, you need to do something. And so the only thing that we could think about at the time was is that I could go get a student card, and we knew the guy who was working in that to bit one up that would say Joseph DeLong. And I know we knew it was a long shot. We weren't sure we'd be able to make that work. And then so we did this, and we went to the Regina airport, and we'd have to go from Regina to Calgary to LAX. And so when we got to Regina, they were saying, they were really confused. We tried to explain the whole story. They wasn't sure what was going on. There were some complications with our tickets. And the long story short is they're going, well, we'll let you go to Calgary, but most likely you're not going to be able to make it through customs to get to LAX. So what happened was, is we get on the plane, we get there, and because of all the delays, because of everything that was going on and us trying to get to the plane, once we got to Calgary and they were trying to rush us through, they just let us go. They just let us just jump on, get onto there, get onto the plane. Now, when we got into LAX, I mean, it was a completely different experience because obviously everything was going with 9/11. We got off the plane and there was military people with fully automatic rifles all around the thing, and we're just going, oh my goodness, what's going on? So we land on the plane, the plane lands at LAX. We get there and we're waiting for our luggage, and none of it shows up, and we're trying to figure out what is going on. And so we go to the info desk, we get to customs, and we're figuring out what's going on. And because of this plane ticket, because of the name mix-up, and because we were late in Regina, and the plane was late and landing, and because we needed to fly right away, they were not able to transfer any of our luggage. We're talking our guitars, we're talking our sleeping bags, we're talking everything that we had for this trip, for the mission trip, as we get to the church, was delayed in Calgary, and it never actually made it to LAX. So as we get there, they're like, oh, don't worry, it'll be here in a couple days, which sounds great if you're not planning on leaving LA to get to Mexico. And so we had to make some decisions in this moment. We're going, oh, okay, so we have none of our stuff. What are we going to do? And so we said, well, let's put some money together. Let's head to a Walmart. Let's pick up all of our camping gear. Let's get some extra cleaning supplies. Let's get some extra, you know, clothes. We don't need too much anyway. And let's figure out what we're going to need for the church. And so let's go and get all this stuff. And one of those things that we needed to pick up was some music equipment. And we thought, well, let's go to a guitar shop let's find some equipment and we can leave that stuff there at the church. And this was something that we were coordinating with our leader on site in LA, who was the mission organization that we were partnering with. And he suggested, oh, I know this guitar shop we can go to. And so we go to Walmart, we do all these things, we get to the guitar shop. And as we're chatting with the guy who's selling us a guitar, all of a sudden the leader the organizer who is in LA starts chatting with him, and they realize that they have mutual family. The gentleman who's selling the guitar is originally from Africa. He's here in the United States, and he's sending money back to his family. And in the midst of the conversation, find out that his brother passed away, and he is unable to get back to Africa for different reasons with traveling visas and money and all this stuff, that he's not going to be able to make it back home for his brother's funeral. And in the midst of that conversation, the mission organization leader explains, I know your family. I know the situation. I know your brother. And because of the organization that he runs, he has fast-track ability to get him to Africa. What's crazy about this story is what seemed like inconveniences, what seemed like all the details that were going wrong, and even the silly thing of putting my name, giving my name that I had no ID for, created all of these issues that should have been this seamless trip to get to Mexico, and all of these bumps and things that we went through that seemed like inconveniences were actually being orchestrated for us to find ourselves in a place at the right place at the right time to be able to interact with the right person that God needed, bringing these two people together so that he could get onto a plane to get home to Africa and be with his family. See, so what happens so often in life is that when we look at the things in life that seem like the puzzle pieces are actually out of whack, the things that are happening, the circumstances that come into our lives that impact us, that seem like inconveniences, a lot of the times God is orchestrating behind the scenes because he sees the full scope, because he has a purpose in what he is doing. See, Paul experienced being in the right place at the right time in the most wonderfully unusual and supernatural way. And this is where we're going to spend pretty much all of our time, is in Philippians 1, verses 12 and to 14. Now, before we read this, to give a little bit of context, that Paul is in prison. Now, he's in house arrest in this because of what was going on with the Jews, and he was preaching the gospel and everything that happened in Jerusalem, and then there was the riot, and he was taken prisoner and then goes from place to place. And a lot of the letters that Paul writes to the church, he actually writes while he is in prison or in house arrest. And what we're about to see when Paul, in the words that he is, it's amazing how he looks at the situation, that because of what is happening, because of the situation at the end, there's this great opportunity that God gives. So let's read what these three verses, verse 12, 13, and 14. And here's what Paul says. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually advanced the gospel. So it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard that everyone else, that my imprisonment is because I am in Christ. And most of the brothers gained confidence in the Lord for my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the word fearlessly. See, Paul was exactly where God wanted him to be. See, look at back, if we go back to verse 12, look at how Paul viewed the situation. Let's just take this verse by verse first. It says, verse 12, now what I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually advanced the gospel. So in the same way that when we were traveling to Mexico, and what seemed like inconvenience or things that we were in the wrong place, actually, God was driving us to the place he needed us to be. And Paul viewed this in the same way. See, Paul saw, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, what has happened to me, what seems like an inconvenience, what seems like a trial, what seems like something that is an injustice, that I have been imprisoned for something, you know, that I haven't done, is actually God using to advance the gospel. See, here's the thing. God works despite whatever situation we find ourselves in. He uses the place and situations we are in. See, where you are is where God is working. Now, there's this quote, I can never remember who the author is. I've tried finding it, but it goes something like this. It isn't that Christians aren't where they're supposed to be. It's that we aren't who we're supposed to be where we are. More often than not, when we think about this idea of being on mission or about the gospel, we think we need to go somewhere. We need to go over there, go do this thing. But the reality is that we carry God's presence. We talked about this the last couple weeks about our joy, peace, and hope, that we carry this reality inside of us, that the Holy Spirit indwells in us, and wherever we place our foot, wherever we are representatives carrying that presence with us. Isn't that amazing, church, to think that wherever we are, God is working? Where you are is where God is working. And so what does that mean? What is our response to that? It's simply this, that we would be available for the yes. So let me give you a story to kind of illustrate that. A few years back, we had new neighbors that were moving in right next door to us. And at the time, had about the same amount of hair, but a beard down to here, tattoos that are on my arms. And the neighbors, when they moved in, I'd originally thought that I was in a biker gang. They were a little bit concerned about who are our neighbors. And as we interacted and they found out actually I was a pastor, they were actually more concerned about that in reality. It's always that funny question for us and going, what do you do for a living? And you're not exactly sure how to answer it. And the reason was for them was they, the husband especially, grew up in this very strict, close, almost like Hutterite experience. And so his experience with God was something very negative, that he'd shut out that experience because of his experience with growing up with his family and the church. And so he had a very negative view. And so we became neighbors, and it wasn't that we looked at them as a project, but instead that we would be the presence where we are. So as we developed and our kids started to play together and we started doing meals together and family, that a lot of these walls and misconceptions started to break down, that we were able to model and shine an example of what it means to follow Jesus in a different way than they had ever experienced. And as they got more and more comfortable with each other and our friends and being able to get underneath the surface, they started to trust us. They started to invite us in to their lives. And it was interesting in this one particular time that we were having a meal together in our house, and then our kids were playing together. The husband was working a night shift and had to leave. And we were sitting and chatting with Bobby, the wife, and she, all of a sudden, in the midst of the conversation, she says, you know, I really feel like we need to go back to church, and we want to go to an Alliance church. And I remember thinking, if there were ever a moment God was saying, now's the time to seize the opportunity, this was it. Now is the time to be available for God's yes to say, I'm making a moment, I'm creating a space for you to be able to step into and share the good news. And so I said, Bobby, you know I'm a pastor of an Alliance church, right? I'm curious, what is it about this that needs to be an Alliance church? And so she expressed that years previously, when they were living in BC, that they had taken a trip during Christmas to go to Banff. And on Christmas Eve, like most traditions in growing up in family, you're thinking, we want to go to a Christmas Eve service. And a Calgary Alliance church had actually decided to do something different, and they did a Christmas Eve service out in Banff, and they found themselves in this service. And it was so memorable to them, they remembered it, and they remembered that it was an Alliance church that did it. And so they thought, if we're going to go to church, we want to go to a church like that. And then all of a sudden, they find themselves next door to an Alliance Church pastor who is building a relationship with them. See, more often than not, when we think about this idea of how God is working out all the things that are going on to us, that he does these things for a purpose and for a reason, that even in the midst of what circumstances look like, that they are bad things happening to us, circumstances out of our control, that God uses these things to be able to advance the gospel. Like what Paul says, again, now what I want you to know, brothers and sisters, what has happened to me, what seems like an injustice, has actually advanced the gospel. See, Paul knew that his trial could become his testimony. Look at what he says in the next verse, in verse 13. He says this, he says, "So that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard that everyone else, and everyone else, that my imprisonment is because I am in Christ." So isn't this amazing to think? Not just, hey, the guards that I am shackled with, the people that I am imprisoned with, but because of the witness that I have, because of the way that I live my life, because of the situation I find myself in, not only them, but the entire prison guard and everyone else. Like, it's just, there's this catch-all that the news of how Paul is living his life and how he's walking this out in the midst of imprisonment is going across all of the imprisonment guard, across the military, across who knows where. The news is going out that there is this Paul, and he's in prison, and even despite that, that the message is spreading. That was the attitude, that was what was happening. Think about it for a second, that the opportunity that Paul had, that he's in house arrest, and that he has guards with him, and because they, as the Roman guards, need to make sure that he stays put, they have to be shackled together. What an opportunity to go every moment of the day that Paul has now because of this opportunity to witness to these high officials, some of them prison guards, some of them being maybe upper up echelon in the military, that he gets to have this presence. He gets to have this impact. He gets to share the gospel with. And because of that opportunity, not only does it impact the people that he's interacting with directly, but also that has become known throughout the entire, or the whole Imperial Guard, and to everyone else. Because of this opportunity that seems like an inconvenience, that seems like injustice, God now gets to use to spread the gospel. And so when we look at our own lives, sometimes I think that we can see and not maybe see the opportunity that God might be doing, but if we had a radar for this to recognize, where is God asking us to say yes to? Where is God placing me so that I can be able to be a witness? Or maybe put it like this. Ask yourself this question. What is unique in your story that God has and can use to be a witness to those you love, work, and play with? This was something that came true to me In two trips when I went back to Montreal. The first one was when I was, it was still my second year of Bible college. I had proposed to my wife, and we were going to bring her to Montreal to meet my extended family. And I remember praying to God going, you know, I want this to be an opportunity to be able to witness my family. And I was racking my brain with thinking of all the different ways that I'm going to be able to share my faith. And what about this question? What about that? What about this disagreement? And I finally came to this realization that God was just calming my heart to go, don't worry about the words you're going to say. Just be available to say yes when I lead you into the situations, and I will give you the words. It's that verse when Peter is in front of the Sanhedrin, and he says, don't worry about the words, I will give them to you. And so I went to Montreal, and I was going, all right, God, I'm available. I'm available for your yes. And there was moment after moment after moment. I remember this. I was in the St. Joseph Basilica on the top of Mount Royal, and it's just this giant cathedral, and the cathedrals are shaped like a cross, and in the back of that, there's this balcony that oversees over the Montreal area. And my grandmother's asking me all these questions, and all of a sudden, I'm having this opportunity in sharing the gospel with my family. Not because I had thought and knew all the answers, but I was available for the opportunities that God was going to bring in the midst of the everyday life that I was walking. Now, the same thing happened just recently, that I've been on this journey of self-healing discovery with the breakup of my parents and the opportunities that are there, and going, you know, there's been this journey of me reconciling with my father and being able to heal in the family, and I knew there was going to be an opportunity in this last summer. My grandparents had just passed away earlier this year, and we were going back to the funeral, finally having an opportunity to do this. And as I was going, I really had this sense that there was going to be an opportunity here. And I thought to myself, okay, God, just open an opportunity that we'd be able to take one more step forward towards seeing my family healed and come into your presence. And in the same way, I was thinking to myself all of the different answers and opportunities. And again, I was reminded, and this is decades later, the same thing. Are you going to be available for the yes? That where you are is where I'm going to work. Don't worry about the details. And what was amazing in that week that I was at home, there was opportunity after opportunity that came. That me and my sister were able to sit on the waterfront with my father and his wife and his family and being able to share our heart, being able to use my own journey of healing to be able to help my father heal. And not only that, but in the midst of all that opportunity, in the midst of those conversations and being open, that my father rededicated his life to Christ, and him and his wife were open again to be able to explore what it means to have a relationship with God and to attend church again. And it was just all because of the ability and available for yes, but also that God used my journey to also heal my family. So because of these circumstances, because of what was going on, that there was opportunity that wherever we place our foot, wherever we go, that God can place these things. But we need to have that radar to see that. That remember that where you are is where God is working, that we don't need to go necessarily, but where you are in that presence. See, when you see God work where you are, it can be something that propels our faith as well. And look what Paul says. So he says, look, all these things that happen, not only is God orchestrating these things, what seems like an inconvenience or an injustice, not only does God, use these opportunities that his living in Christ, his sharing the gospel has been known throughout the imperial guard and everyone else. But this too, it says in verse 14, most of the brothers have gained confidence in the Lord for my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the word. Because of where God had placed Paul, because of what the being in house imprisonment, not only was that an impact for the gospel there and inside of the imperial guard, but the whole church started hearing about what was going on, and it raised the temperature of their faith. It raised the temperature of their faith all the way to the point where he says that they're able to speak the word fearlessly. How often in the circumstances do we second guess ourselves and wonder, is that opportunity? Am I going to say the right words? Am I going to say the wrong words? But what happens with Paul in this situation is that not only does it have an impact in the immediate people that he is interacting with, and the word is spreading across the culture, but the church's faith and boldness goes up. Think about it like this. Think about a pilot light inside of your furnace. That small little pilot light, when your furnace isn't on, it sits there. And it's lit. And it's so often not. That pilot light itself really doesn't do a whole lot. But when you turn up the heat and the pilot light goes on and starts to heat up your house, that has the energy to then disperse that heat all across your house and seeing the temperature of the house go up. That we have that ability, that we, in the same way, when we come to faith in Christ, that we have that spirit that comes into us. And maybe at first, that pilot light seems very small. But also that we have this amazing ability that we as believers don't just react to what's going on or what the Holy Spirit's doing. We're not simply a thermometer who gauges the temperature, but we're actually like a thermostat. That we have the ability, because that Spirit lives in us, that we can turn the temperature up in a room. And so as we live out these experiences, see how God is working in our midst in our lives, it has that ability to take that small pilot light to turn up the temperature in the room, and we can see that faith grow, and we can see that movement, and it starts to snowball. It's small little things, but as that temperature goes up, that pilot light has the ability now to heat the entire home. And it's the same way in our faith walk. It's the same way in how we live our life as we go out. And here's what it's all about. It isn't so much about making sure that you have the right words, making sure that you're in the right place. It's simply as you go, as you walk out your everyday life, to have eyes to see and ears to hear the moment God is creating that you can be a part of. I could have never orchestrated the moments that God was bringing me in. Paul himself could have never orchestrated the situation he found himself in. None of us could do that, but God can. We don't need to worry about the details of where God needs to place us or worry about the details of that other person's life. Simply that we would be faithful to have eyes to see and ears to hear the moment God is creating so that we can be a part of. That we get to partner with God. That we are co-creators with God. That we are ambassadors of this gospel. I love in one translation when it talks about that passage of the Great Commission, that we hear it as go and make disciples. But there's this translation that I love that it looks at the verb tense of it that would probably be better written as you go, make disciples. That wherever you are, see, again, when you give your life to Jesus, you don't need to go where God is. God is wherever you are. God can be with you in no matter the circumstances you find yourselves and redeems and uses the situations for his purposes. See, your job is not to make Christians or make disciples. Our job is to be available and ready to step in the moments that God is making for us. Let me remind you again, if you haven't heard it through this message, and if you take anything away, it's this. Where you are is where God is working. Or another way to put it is, are you available for the yes? Are you have eyes to see and ears to hear to be available for the yes, that when God is orchestrating and placing you where you need, that you're ready for that moment? Are you ready in your spirit because you are growing in that relationship with him? Are you ready knowing that because that pilot light is being turned on? Are you ready in the moment that when those situations come, that you have that courage to be able to step into what God is inviting you? So not worrying about the details, not worrying about the fabric, and not worrying about having the right words or the right actions or being in the right place, but simply recognizing that this simple truth, where you are is where God is working. And to be able to answer this question, are you available for the yes? And so in that, I want to challenge us to think, as we walk out our everyday life, to be available for the yes, and to know the truth that God is working wherever we are. Let me pray for you. Father God, we just thank you again for this community of believers, for this city on a hill called Fort Saskatchewan Alliance Church. It is through your people, through your church, that the gospel is advancing. And that you have this amazing ability to orchestrate the things that are happening, to orchestrate the details, that it's not by accident that we are where we are. It's not by accident that we have the family members, the co-workers, the neighbors that we have. And we have that great opportunity to be able to walk into the situations that you are giving us. God, give us that courage. Give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear the moments that you're bringing forth to us. And have that radar for what you are doing. We just pray this in your glorious name. And all of God's people said, amen. And if you are a part of Fort Saskatchewan Alliance Church, or maybe you're new and have been doing that and you're wondering what is your next step to be able to be on mission, to be able to see what's going on, that we really encourage you to reach out to the church and be able to take that next step in figuring out how you can live this life more intently. It's wonderful being with you guys, and we hope to see you next weekend.